Mum, how long have you lived in Marple?
I've lived in Marple since I was 12 years of age.
So we can work that out. All right. So you've seen many changes. So let's go back to the ancient part of Marple. What do you remember about Brabin's Hall?
Not that much about Brabin's Hall. It didn't come into my life until about when I was 18, when I met Roy, who became my husband. And his mother was friendly with Mary Woodward and Billy Woodward, who took over Brabin's Hall, looking after Miss Hudson there. And of course, with being friends with the grandma, we used to go down to Brabin's, and the Woodwards lived by the River Goyt in a little cottage to which you went down steps from the bridge, and the river flowed by, and it was a very small cottage, but it was on the premises of Brabin's Hall ground.
And what did Mr. Woodward do?
He looked after the grounds. You might call him a bailiff. And he lived at Water Meeting's cottage, the other end of Brabin's Brow, coming in from Comstock. And it's not the cottage by the bridge that's been renovated. The new bridge is now there. It's not that one. It's just way back down a little country lane at the bottom called Water Meeting's Cottage.
Right.
Whether it's tenanted now, I don't know.
So you don't remember Brabin's Hall at all?
No.
Or walking through the
not
park?
Not to the same extent as knowing the Woodwards.
No.
But the Woodwards from Water Meeting's Cottage used to walk to Brabin's every day to look after Miss Hudson, and Mr. Woodward covered the grounds, superintending and seeing what had to be done and everything.
So if we leave Brabin's and go to the other end of Marple, what do you know about Marple Hall?
Well, I remember it standing there as a hall, but deteriorating very much. And when I was at school, I went to Macclesfield School, and the history mistress there, Miss Wallace, was interested in Marple Hall and the history. So they came over, and we were allowed to go in the hall, and the caretaker was there. It was deteriorating in those days, but there were the two private gates, one at the top of Danbank, and one where Marble Hall Drive is now, and they led onto private ground. It was all private ground. The houses weren't built then, perhaps one or two on Stockport Road, but not to the extent that they are now. But it was an interesting history lesson for Miss Wallace to come, and we were able to see Marble Hall deteriorating.
Now, some time ago, we were sat here and you went through all the shops that you could remember on Stockport Road.
Oh, good grief.
Do you remember doing it? So, perhaps, where would you like to start? You know, you started down at the Jolly Sailor and you started saying who the shops were down there and worked your way up, didn't you?
Yes.
Right, have another think about them.
Well, opposite the Jolly Sailor, there were four shops. Collier's, the baker's, then a butcher's shop, and then a greengrocer's. And there was another building as well there. And then opposite there was Tommy Pearson. He had the butcher's shop at the bottom of Stockport Road, but he had his killing, I won't say a full slaughterhouse, but he did some slaughterhouse by Booth's house on Bowden Lane. That was where he lived. And there was another built house there owned by Joe Woodhouse and family. And then on the left hand side where the present houses are, shops, there was a a block of houses to which you went up steps to go. And I always remember there was a Mr. Goody, and he was a shoe mender, and there was a Miss... I can't just remember her name, but she had a way out shop of bits and pieces of everything. And when the estate opposite, the council estate, was built, they allowed her to have a little shop on that estate so that she could carry on with living, really. It was her means of living. Can't think of her name.
But the smithy was there.
Yes, the smithy was further on from the shops that I mentioned, the four nice shops. There was the smithy there. And I remember that the taxi driver who lived at the top of Station Road, Holly Mount, he had this blacksmith's place there. And then there was the Peacefield Farm. Must I go on?
Yes, please, go on.
Peacefield.
You remember as much as you can.
Peacefield Farm, and they owned the ground below where I live now for the farm, and the cows used to come in that field, cross the road, cross the main roads, and Peace Farm was there, and at the side of that was a little cottage. And the aunt and uncle of Cussie Steele, who owned Peace Farm, and John Rishworth was the nephew, and he carried on with the farming. And I used to, as a schoolgirl, take the milk out from there up Stockport Road to different houses. Can't remember the names of all, but I can remember there was a Mr. Chu, a pianoforte teacher, and then I went across Market Street, as it was then, to a Miss Brown, which was a sweet shop. And I was delivering the milk out of the milk can with a pint measure all that way up. And this was after school time, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, because milk was delivered twice a day in those days. Makes me sound very old, doesn't it? Milk being delivered fresh from a can.
So what other shops were up Stockport Road that you can remember?
Well, go back to Peace Farm, and then there was the Church Lane houses, and opposite the corner from Peace Farm was a lovely orchard from the farm. And then on the other side, there was also a little smithy shop owned or worked by a Mr. Walker, who lived just a slight way up Stockport Road. There was Tommy Pearson's shop. There was the mill manager called Wilshaw, lived in the house next to Tommy Pearson's. And then four little cottages. And then Nellie Graham, who had the lived with her father in the detached house. And then you came to the other, well, Victorian houses, which were still there, they're still there today. I think there's an accountant, and they're all changed into places of interest now, because there was a shop there owned by a Miss Yates, and she had a haberdashery shop. And then there was a plot of land where Jack Roberts' shops were built. That was all open land. And then you came to another block of houses and shops. And the first one there was a confectioner's shop owned, as I remember, by a Mrs. Cook. And then a greengrocer. Oh, then there was Bibby's, who sold all sorts of oddments. I think he could line a funeral case, I don't know what you call them, and with red flannel, and I've still got some red flannel that he used because Dad bought it from him. and its wool. And then there was a greengrocer's called Lane's, and then a Mrs. Varden's haberdashery. And then there were two houses again, and the church organist called Ogden lived in one of them, and they had a student called Jack Conroy, went to Manchester University, can remember him. And then you came to Dorothy Harker's people, and her mother was a hairdresser, and the father was the gas man with a canvas bag over his shoulder, and that was all the attention gas people got in those days. He would walk round, a proper tradesman really, but he was known for going round to the gas people. Then he came to the post office, which was always there, and then another block of flats, houses, red brick houses, and of course they're all converted into shops now. I can remember Lehman's at the corner of Union Road though, a grocer's shop. But going back to Peacefield Farm, on the opposite side, there was a grocer's shop opposite the Jolly Sailor, and there was a grocer's shop there called Etchell's, and then another grocer's shop next door where the chip shop is, blocked up, and then a fish and chip shop, and then a jeweller's shop, I think they were tailors, and then at the end of that there were the Miss Higginbottoms who ran a confectioner's shop, and it was taken over by Norman Turner off Chadwick Street, where he did the baking. Mm-hmm. So that's the, and then of course you came up to other private houses, Higginbottoms, and the father was one, and he did a lot of work in Marple. I always remember him stating the chimney opposite me here on Station Road. It was quite something to see him build up the chimney stack again. And that was Higginbottoms. And then you got somebody called Savage, and the parents were caretakers of the Wesleyans, as it was known, on Church Lane, and they used to caretake there. I think Lillian Savage, as she was then, is still living. I only saw her yesterday at a charity shop. Yes, I thought she did the lifeboat stall, but she was on for the cancer research yesterday. So then you went up to where there was a person called Johnston, and he had where Duddy's place is. That was a workyard, and he did stonemasonry and grave stones. And then another block of Victorian houses. And so he came up to the garage. Can't remember who owned the garage. I don't know whether it was Yates in those days.
Mm. The doctors were still there.
There were the two detached. The doctors wasn't there then. It was a metal sheet worker. Cooks, the taxi people, had one house, and he had a strange eye, Mr. Cook, the father, and he was well known. And then there was the private house owned by this metal worker, who had premises on Church Street, where he did his work. Then there was the doctor's house, worked from Dr. Jackson, no relation to Dr. Arthur Jackson, who lived at Glengarth, which is in a state of deterioration now and up for sale, suffering with dry rot. But that's where Dr. Arthur Jackson lived, and the other Jackson was on Stockport Road. Hibbert Lane wasn't there, the new Hibbert Lane. It was just a matter of houses covering there. And so you got up to Jew's place, and then the other block of old houses to the entrance of Hollins Lane.
Right.
And the precinct wasn't there.
We have a rest there. We'll do Market Street in a moment, okay?
Yeah, yes.
You can go across Market Street, okay. Do you remember the bath scheme, Bill?
Yes, I do. That was on the other side. Mm-hmm. I've covered one side up to the Hollins Lane area. Yes, the baths was built. And it was by McNair the Scouter. The other Dr. McNair lived on Church Lane where Rectory Court is today.
Right. So we'll leave the shops and let's move on to other things that were found in Marple, such as the mills. What do you know about the mills at all? Particularly Hollins.
Particularly the Hollins. I remember the work people going and coming back at lunchtime for their lunches, and the hair was absolutely covered with fluff from the mills. But they used to go back and to, and there was Mr. and I think Edith Walker from the row of the houses where the police station was on the corner of Bowden Lane. I think he was the mill manager and used to see him walking up from there. And then there was a Mr. Wilshaw next door to Pearson's shop. He was connected with the doings. His daughter married Wolf Powell, which is another story. Powell's case in the wreck.
Right. And did they have a hooter?
Yes, the mill hooter went. Yes.
And can
you remember the timekeeper too?
Can you remember the barges going into it?
Yes, the arm of the canal going round.
They were still working.
Yes.
And what about
and the men used to swim in the hot water, as they did at the Goyt Mill?
Any more mills in Marple that you can remember? Shepley or?
No, I can't remember the Shepley Hall. It was back and beyond as far as I was concerned.
You didn't go up that far?
No.
And the Goyt, anything about the Goyt you want to say?
No, I wasn't connected with the Goyt. Although my husband worked there later in the office.
All right, shall we just move on and we'll go to what you... We went to Trinity Methodist, so can you tell us about, things we used to do at the Trinity Methodist?
Well, we were a very go-ahead church, and we had pantomimes every Christmas, and the place was absolutely packed. I can't remember how many times it was portrayed, but the place... And there wasn't central heating, but you had the condensation coming down the walls, and if you sat near a wall, you got wet through because of your clothes. But they were a huge success at the pantomime. People used to go regularly, and the rehearsals were good, and I sort of did the wardrobe committee. We gained money to buy material for the shows, and the wardrobe committee made all their own clothes. Marion Bowden and Marion Greenwood were responsible, and Clary Ashton's wife, Evelyn, she did a lot. It was a happy gang, and after the baths were organised, were open, when they were boarded over, we had social dancers there. Mixed, old time and everything.
And what about the sermons?
Oh, the sermons were quite something. Again, the church was packed, and people came that had left the area to take the collection up. And if the money hadn't attained the amount that was on last year's, they made it up. Everybody was so interested in knowing how much money was... received for their sermons, that they'd had to be built up and made up.
And they used to walk round?
Yes, there was a procession with Frank Wardle, three generations of the Wardle, Grandad Wardle, Father and Frank Wardle. And they lived up in a little cottage up the steps by the House of Flowers that is today. That used to be a greengrocer's shop, owned, I think, by George Dawson.
So, we've covered more or less everything you can remember about the churches. Anybody notable from the church that you can remember anything happening? Nothing drastic?
Well, no, they carried on. There was a good congregation, a good Sunday school, and a young men's class. Right. There'd be about 20-odd men, young men, 20-ish, and perhaps 16 to 20, and they formed a football team and had fun on the rec, which isn't used very much today as it used to be. Perhaps in summer they would play cricket, but it was renowned as a good football team, and it was a Mr. Dawson who lived on Hollins Lane and used to hawk greengrocery round that took their class every Sunday. And they've certainly respected him and attended the Sunday school.
So let's move on and go on to recreation. You've already mentioned the baths as a dancing place,
yes,
and playing football. But what other things happened in Marple for recreation?
Well, the cinema wasn't there. It was a chapel of some sort, unionist place. I think I'm right in saying it was a place of worship, and it was all converted and the cinema was opened.
And what sports took place, like the lacrosse and things like that?
There wasn't that much lacrosse in Marple, really, but Jimmy Jinks, that was lived at Top Lock, he organised, and they played at Mellor. And my husband played at Disley as well as Mellor at an early age, but they didn't have the gear that they have today. They just played with thick gloves on and a bat, a racket or something for their cross.
And when it came to holidays, can you explain what happened at Marple Station and everybody coming out towards the lakes?
Well, that was, people came out at weekends from Manchester area, and Browin's Brow was absolutely swarming with people, packed really, and they went towards the lakes for walks, but the trains were full, and on Browin stood the horses and carriages waiting for people. There weren't the taxis until later. And then opposite Marple Station was an auction, Marple Auction, which took place every Monday, and all the cattle were driven by hand, because there wasn't the motor transport in those days. And my husband, he used to drive to help the butchers to take the cattle. And one went through somebody's house as they were chasing it.
I was just going to remind you of that, that's fine.
Yes.
Right, anything about, you've talked about milk deliveries and transport and things like that. Anything else you want to, the coal men and people that you can remember being, things that were delivered?
It was Sam Bowden for coal, and his two sons carried on, Ronnie and Sam, carried on with the coal business. And I think David still lives on Winnington Road or that area, the grandson. And I remember him being born, and he was minus a finger or thumb on one hand, and he was very small, like his granddad, who was a lovely, cheery fellow. He made everybody laugh. He knew when Sam Bowden was coming delivering coal, and they had to carry the coal bagged at Rose Hill Station. And then they used to deliver it round, but they had to carry the 100 weights of coal.
So there was, what deliveries went round Marple? Milk deliveries from Watson's Fields, Watson Farm.
Oh, that's another, yes, because during the war, I lived in the little cottages opposite the Hatters. Circumstances were there, and I had, Mum and I went there. And I looked after the Marple Retailers Association. collecting levies from all the farmers in Mortle to send to the milk board. Well, it was a right racket, I'll tell you.
Yeah. You're right, go a bit further.
Well,
yeah, I'm not nearly finished, and then you can tell me anything else you want after that. You've mentioned Frank Wardle as being a notable person in Marple.
Oh, absolutely.
Who else was
an undertaker.
Who else can you really remember as a really well-known person?
Tommy Pearson, the Bunchers at the bottom of Stockport Road. He had the monopoly, really, of butcher's shop. Although there was a Sam Sharples on Market Street, and he was a character.
And what was the lady with the sweet shop?
Oh, Mrs. Woodward.
Oh, yeah.
She hailed from Fernie Lee, and she knew Dad way back, because my father was born at Fernie Lee, near Whaley Bridge, if you don't know where Fernie Lee is. And she always remarked that she could hear Dad with his monologues and things. And Mrs. Woodward had a retarded son, and also an ordinary bloke who could walk about. But on holidays, she used to take this son to Talkington Lake, which is... you won't know where Talkington Lake is. I don't think it's there today. But they used to have boats on there, just a little shack of a boat, and he could play about and sail on it. And Mrs. Woodward used to walk with his son. But at holiday time, she used to go off to London, though, even in those days, sailing from Liverpool.
Right, and any other memories that you might like to reminisce about, that you can remember about Marple? I've touched on some topics. Anything you want to add? Anything on Market Street or...?
Well, the train service was in function in those days. And going to Macclesfield in the morning, there were two trains, one at perhaps 3 minutes past eight and another at 12 minutes. And the last one had been all round Woodley, the longer route as we called it. But we got there to Macclesfield, and there was a train, the last train from Macclesfield through to Manchester. No, it turned round at Romilly, was a small train leaving at 9 o'clock from Macclesfield, and that was the last train. And it was only a small runabout in those days, but the line was open, and it was marvellous to travel on the line. That should never have been closed. It was not.
Right, well, that's the end of all my sort of questions. I just thought you'd reminisce about anything else that comes to mind.
Well, the young people used to go on the wreck in the evenings and play cricket. That was muchly used, but the wreck won't be taken over by a building, as I understand, because it's covered by a covenant. And the carvers in the park owned the what is the council office, and so called today, they lived in there. And we knew the chauffeur, not the chauffeur, the coachman, coach and horses in those days in Marple Park. And then there were the Barlows and Cross Lane, another big house. They were tea people. And we knew a Mr. Ridgway, who was the gardener there. And he used to, in the greenhouse, grow yellow tomatoes. And they were, we thought they were very unique, and loved these yellow tomatoes, and he looked after the gardens for the Miss Barlows, as I knew them.
And they lived at Woodville.
And they lived at Woodville, which was all private ground. And then there was Alderman Edwards at the top. Can't remember the name of the house, which is now where the flats are. Stonehurst, that was what it was called.
And just something I've remembered about the farms on Strines Road where the leeches lived, and they used to look at the pigs.
Yes, go over Strines Road. The bungalows and that property wasn't there. There was the mill arm there to, I suppose it went to Old Nose Building, which is an old, a lovely cottage today. I just can't remember the name of it now. But going over Strands Road, there were two houses, two brick houses, and then another big red house where tailors used to live. And Granny Sopel, Roy's mother, used to take in washing for them, a means of earning any coppers that they could in those days. So she did the washing for there. And then you went to Limekiln Road. The limekilns were all deserted, but at the end was a farm where the Leachers lived. Mm-hmm. There was a big family of the Leachers, and one, John Leach, used to take bread round in a van, as did Albert Faulkner from Hollins Lane, delivered the van, horse-drawn, but the bread was delivered and people bought from the vans. Norman Turner from Chadwick Street did it, but he had a motor car later in life.
Right, anything? Now we can finish.
There was the Carver building, and then there was the Girls' Institute on Chadwick Street as well, which was affiliated to Marple Church.
Oh, the welfare. Can you just mention the welfare?
And not the welfare. Where the babies went. It was welfare, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Where the babies went to be measured, and they had a doctor once a month there. And this the institute was also taken over by the British restaurant during the war, and there were meals provided. Church Street's cottages were lovely, and there were chip shops galore in Marple, one on Chadwick Street, one Emily Street, and then you came to the building of Trinity coming out onto Market Street, which was a grand building and really occupied. They had a young men's club every Monday night, and I'm afraid I went in and played table tennis with the lads.
And just as I went to tennis. Just to finish off then, what are your reminiscences of the war in Marple?
Well, not that much of the war in Marple, because I travelled out to Warrington during the war, having been blitzed in Manchester, the Corn Exchange. I worked in the Corn Exchange, and that was blitzed, 1940, wasn't it? The Christmas blitz. I know I was going out for lunch that particular day, and I never got, because we walked down Market Street and it was horrific. And invoices and things were all over the place, and the margarine place, Vandenberg's, I think it was called, opposite the Corn Exchange, was more or less floored. And it was a terrible state. So that was more Manchester in those days. So from there I had to travel to Wigan and then out to Warrington during the war. So I didn't see much of Marple. I just came home for sleep and work. Caught the 7:29 train from Marple, to which I had to walk to the Marple station from Church Lane every day, and then to Manchester, across Manchester, to Central Station that is today, no, Central that is today, and then on to Warrington. Happy days, because they were all good travelling companions.
Do you have any memories, excuse me, memories of the public houses in Marple at all?
I'm afraid I didn't.
No, we know that. I just wondered if you remember what, if any, was there.
Oh yes, the Navigation was there, yeah. And the Jolly Sailor, yeah, was there. And at one point, I used to go in the Jolly Sailor because a school colleague, her mother and her aunt had the Royal Oak. I think I'm correct in saying the Royal Oak. There's two pubs at Strines, and from there they came to manage the Jolly Sailor, and there was Masonic dues at the Jolly Sailor. It was a very go-ahead pub. there, and there was the bowling green as well, and of course the railway was still there. On Market Street was the bull and the pineapple. I lived one time next to the Hurlows that managed the pineapple. They were all frequented, but I can't remember much about seeing drunken people around. They all liked a little tot.
So these memories are from around about 1930, are they, onwards?
Yes, yeah. 1930,
if you were 12, when you came, yes, 18.
Yes.
Yes.
1934. Are we still on?
Yes, we carry on. No problem.
Yeah, to say about the Somerville Cup that I won. It was in the Macclesfield paper.
Yes, what was that for?
Running.
Oh.
And I used to be in the hockey team. But Judith took me to Macclesfield King's School yesterday, prompted by my son to go because he knew I went there and his daughter went there. And I took what I'd won. I won 2 years running the Somerville Cup at Macclesfield for sports. And coming out of school, King's School, the PR chappie saw me, said, hang on, and he got a photographer and took my photograph with two pupils, and I appeared in the Macclesfield paper, so I made fame at last.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, fine.
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I remember Martha Cinnamon opening, as I said.
When was that?
Oh, I'd be about 15, work that out for me.
33 then.
33, yes. As the Baths. Mm-hmm. And behind the, there was a Liberal Club functioning, and there were some little cottages behind those old shops where the cinema is. They're still where Brambles, I think, mm-hmm. that's closed down now. But I remember those, and there was a greengrocer's at the end, and at the back were some little cottages overlooking the park and the Mill Arm, and there was Miss Martin that used to be a Sunday school teacher at Trinity.
Do you remember Worrells, which was near the...
Yes, I remember Worrells.
Yeah, the double-fronted hardware shop.
Always used to buy my gym shoes from there because they were good and cheap. Yes. Yes, I remember Mr. and Mrs. Worrell. And it was a good shop. Fred David Davis is the only one in Marple similar, selling all sorts now.
Wendy Robinson's the carpenter come, because it was where the new Hibbert Lane was. Can you remember Robinson?
Yes, Fred, big, Robinson.
Fred Robinson was great.
Yeah.
They lived in a little cottage on, Littlewood Butchers. I remember Littlewood's Butchers opening with two brothers, and one went to Heaton Moor or Heaton Chapel, opened a shop there, and Clive stayed at this end. And we always got meat. Not always, no, I won't say always, because I was a great friend of the Pearsons.
But Fred Robinson had a house, didn't he?
Fred Robinson had a house on Derby Street.
Yeah.
Long before Arthur Walsh took over, was this little house. And Fred Robinson, was a joiner and used to work for Vernon's on Stockport Road, which was an undertaking place and furniture place. And Fred was a great, and Madge were great pals of mine when they came to live on Owens Lane, Owens Estate, Owens Green Estate.
It was Fred who had the big collection of postcards, wasn't it? Lots of local postcards, I think.
Oh,
he would have.
I believe so. Mm.
Yes, I'll never forget, when my husband died, I asked him to do the window in the kitchen, and he didn't charge me a halfpenny, because of memory of Roy. I'll never forget it.